From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL-FM, welcome to Wine and Dandy. I'm Sarah King.
And I'm Jamie Caskey. And wine is fun, and we intend to prove it.
Well, you know, this week we wanted to take a second here at the top of the show, first of all, to thank Seaboard Wine Warehouse for giving us our wines this week, because
yes,
we always appreciate them.
Yes, we do.
They're at the High Park Shopping Center in Raleigh, and they're offering curbside service. So if you need wine or wine advice or both, by all means, give them a call. They'll help you out.
Yep.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about is the Black Lives Matter movement. It is on everybody's mind, as it should be.
Yes, we're trying to be very supportive in everything we do.
Yeah, exactly. So I immediately, as soon as I thought about what to record next, I was like, let's do a Black Winemaker show. This is a great idea, if I do say so myself. But while I was trying to find wine that would, you know, support this episode, I had a really, really hard time finding any wine made by Black winemakers. I asked Seaboard Wine Warehouse. Mm-hmm. I asked Wine Authorities, which is another like niche. They deal with small vintners and small winemakers.
Yeah.
And it's not just in Europe that they deal with. They deal with it in America as well.
Right.
I went to Total Wine & More. Mm-hmm. I went to Wegmans. Mm-hmm. I went to Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
I looked around, and the only wine I could find, one wine company, wine vintner, that was available.
And where are they out of?
They're out of California.
Okay.
And Seaboard was the ones who had them, and they provided the wine, like I said. And it just got me thinking, like, what in the world? Why is this so hard to find? So I did some digging.
Yep. I love that about you. Okay. You're an investigator.
Yeah, sometimes when I have the time. I used mm-hmm. to be much more of an investigator until I started this
job.
She
was stalkish before, but now she's backed off to
now
just
I'm legal. So well, we have our very first true interview, and I'm really excited. And we're going to take a break, Jamie, right? We're going to
yep.
take one now. We're going to do one early. I know it's a little out of character for us, but we're going to take a break because when we come back, we're going to talk to a man who is at the forefront of African-American winemakers and has a plan to get them more involved and has a lot to say. So we'll be right back after this break. Right now, we have Phil Long, who is not only the owner and proprietor of Longevity Wines in the Livermore Valley of California, but he is the president of the Association of African American Vintners. Welcome. Thanks for being with us today, Phil.
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Phil, what time is it where you are?
It is 8:38 a.m.
You are a patient man to play this game with us. Just for everybody listening, it is 11:38 where we are. So Phil got up and got rocket and rolling and let us interrupt his morning. So thank you, Phil.
Oh, this is my second today.
Oh, wow. So you've been busy.
Yes, I have been busy so far.
I'm just going to jump right in and ask the question that I found very frustrating, because what we're doing this week is a Black winemakers episode. And truth of the matter is, Phil, why have I never heard of any African-American winemakers?
Primarily because there's just not that many of us. We make up less than 1/10 of 1% of the entire population of winemakers. And we all know 1/10 of 1% pretty much rounds down to zero. We're definitely trying to change that, but those are the numbers, and those are sad, but we're working to change that.
How are you doing that? What exactly do you guys have in place? What's the plan for that?
So when you say you guys, I'm going to assume you mean the AAAV. I mean,
yes.
Our vision is, first and foremost, awareness, that there actually are African-American winemakers, and stemming from that, we're trying to pave the path for young African-American students, number one, to be aware this is an industry they can pursue.
Yeah.
And number two, we're also presenting scholarships. We're working with the United Negro College Fund.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to pave the way to have additional faces in our industry.
And you formed the Association of African-American Vintners back in the early 2000s. How has the landscape changed in the African-American community from the time you started to now, as far as its relationship to wine?
Yeah, actually, it was founded by a gentleman named Mac McDonald, and he's an awesome winemaker. He founded it back in 2002, And he was like the first African-American winemaker in California to really be put on the map because he's a great winemaker. He was making, you know, mid-90 point Pinots from Sonoma County.
Wow.
And it put him on the map as a winemaker. And as he tells the story, he used to go to events and things and he'd look around and nobody looked like him.
Yeah, right.
So he founded the Association of African-American Vintners. I met him about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years after that. And little did I know he was grooming me to replace him.
Oh, his secret project you were unaware of.
I love, yes, love exactly. when that happens.
Here we are.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the landscape has changed because it was just an awareness that he was, you know, he's a farmer from Texas and he's making great wine. And he's like, am I the only one? And once he started finding a few, it were like there were like 8 of them, and that was like the total back then. And then as things have progressed, the landscape is changing. Obviously, there's more African-American winemakers today than there are before, but we still represent a very, very small number of the entirety.
Well, that brings us to our question about access then, because Sarah was looking specifically for African-American winemakers in stores around here. She went to several of them. She had her homework done.
I did. I hit at least 4 or 5 stores trying to find some wine.
So tell us the best way, if people are interested in supporting African-American vintners, what's the best way for people to get these wines?
Well, interestingly enough, due to the current landscape, there have been a lot of lists that have been posted on social media of winemakers and wine brands. And there are wine brands by African-Americans. There are obviously wineries by African-American winemakers. Pay attention to those, number one. You can go to the AAAEB site and look at some of our membership, find wineries that way.
Okay.
You guys are in North Carolina,
correct.
Right?
Correct, yes.
So I am actually distributing nationally now. Longevity has partnered with one of the largest wine companies in the nation, and we are producing our wines for national distribution.
Funny
oh, that's
you
great.
That because we have 2 of your wines we'll be tasting in a little bit.
No, no, we don't. We don't have his wines.
Oh, we don't? It's not?
No,
oh,
no,
I'm
no.
sorry.
No, I was like, no,
I thought
that's
you said
not
it
true.
Was.
No, 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 no. We have Maison Noir wines. Those are the only wines I could find. I was looking everywhere. I went to independent wine stores. I went to Total Wine and More. I went to Wegmans, which is a grocery store that has a huge wine section, I thought for sure. And it was the only black winemaker that I could find in our area. So, and I looked for longevity wine and I couldn't find it around. And it was frustrating. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be some somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
well, there will be because, you know, I'm looking actually at a spreadsheet. I just pulled a report this morning. You know, we're in California, Colorado, Georgia, Hawaii, Maryland, Michigan, Missouri, South Dakota, Texas, and soon to be in North Carolina.
Okay, good.
You know, you were sliding North Carolina right on in there.
Phil, we're talking to Phil Long, who is the proprietor and owner of Longevity Wines from California, and as well as the president of the Association of African American Vintners. And I want to circle back to our conversation about the fact that there are just so few African American winemakers. Why are there so few? Why do you think that is?
You know, I can relate back to my experience. When I, you know, I grew up in Inglewood, which is in Southern California. I went to college, Cal Poly Pomona. I didn't even realize the wine industry was an option as a career path. You're not aware. There's a definite lack of awareness growing up, especially in my circles, of that it's even an option. So even when I went to college, we used to call them Aggies, where these guys wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots
yeah.
to cut cows. That's what agriculture was because we didn't know. But now I wish I knew then what I know now. definitely would have been a viable career path. So creating awareness that it is, and it's not even just being a winemaker. It's being a viticulturalist. It's being a chemist. It's being a sommelier. There are multiple careers in the wine industry that are available that I had no idea existed.
That kind of leads me to my next question, which In your opinion, what is the biggest misconception about the African-American community and their relationship with wine?
Yeah, I think the biggest misconception is that I've heard, and we've all heard that, you know, African-Americans like sweet wine. You know what? Look, the bottom line is, when anyone starts to drink wine, they all like sweet wine, and you always move on away from that.
Yes.
So, I have my hand raised, Bill. That's who I was.
So I think that's the biggest misconception. You know, everybody drinks wine, and we're just trying to make it more accessible, make people more aware. And, you know, for us as African-American winemakers, we can't survive if just African-Americans buy our wine. We can only survive if everyone buys our wine.
Sure.
So our goal is to just really educate the public that we make great wine as well. If you like it, buy it. If you don't, buy something else.
Right.
We're no different.
Well, now that leads me to my next question. Could you tell us a little bit about the John J. Lewis Scholarship Fund?
Yes, the John June Lewis Senior Scholarship Fund. John June Lewis was the first African-American winemaker back in your part of the country in the United States, around 1940. Mm-hmm. And we are partnered with Urban Connoisseurs. Marcy Jones owns Urban Connoisseurs, and she's sort of a historian, really active in the African-American wine community. AAAV has partnered with her and formed the John June Lewis Scholarship Fund with the United Negro College Fund.
Gotcha.
And how is one eligible for this fund? It's a scholarship, correct?
It is a scholarship, and we are literally working on the parameters of that right now.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, we don't want to take up a lot of your time, but we have two personal questions, and I will start with mine because it's more topic related, and then Sarah will get into hers. Okay. What are some wines, Bill, that you personally are excited about right now that you want to talk about?
Of my wines or just in general?
Just wines that you're enjoying and you're recommending. And if they happen to be longevity wines, then there you go.
You can do a little shameless self-promotion. We don't mind.
Well, so I have a wine that we produce. It's it is a Pinot Grigio, but we make it in an Italian style called Ramato, which means it's pink.
Ooh, so these pink, words are magic.
Yes. It is a pink Pinot Grigio that is very popular, and I'm enjoying that because it's the perfect pool wine. I don't know what the weather's like there, but it's like it was 98 here yesterday.
It's hot.
Yeah.
North Carolina, it's hot.
We could enjoy that, Phil. We certainly could enjoy that by the pool.
And are you getting the pink color through leaving the skins in maceration, like extended time with the skins?
That's exactly correct. We cold soak overnight. I mean, Pinot Grigio is in the Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir family. Mm-hmm. And you look at Pinot Grigio grapes, they look like red grapes because the skin is so dark. And when you boil it right down, Grigio is gray in Italian, gris, which is the same grape as gray in French. Mm-hmm. And they have some of those hues in the skins from like Pinot Noir. So if you leave them on the skins for a certain period of time, they are going to pull some of that color in. We didn't start shooting for the color. We were actually perfecting our winemaking skills in extracting more flavor, because you get more flavor with a cold soak on the skins. So we're shooting for more flavor, and the color came with it. And it's a beautiful, full wine. It is not what you think most Pinot Grigios are, that they're kind of lackluster. This is a definite drink wine, for sure.
I'm a Pinot Grigio person, so you just hurt my feelings, Phil. But I do like that this happy accident has led to a pink wine. When they are available to us, I'll be checking that out.
Yeah, we will most certainly be checking those out. We love pink wine.
Well, those are on the website, and you can order those.
Rock and roll.
That's
okay.
And you can go order that anytime.
Okay. Gotcha. And does that fall into the orange wine category?
Yeah, orange wine, I don't like that term because it insinuates that there's some citrus.
Some people misconstrue it, yeah.
but I avoid that term.
Okay. I love pink, red, orange. I don't care what color the wine is. I like all brands of wine. I even heard that there's a blue wine out there, which I'm going to try to track down. But I do have one more question for you. You need to tell me about that beautiful tattoo on your arm. What's the meaning? Because I saw it and I'm like, that is prominent and beautiful. And I know it's got a story.
Wow. Is this video? Is there a camera in here somewhere?
yes, Bill, surprise.
We may have stalked you on the internet a little bit.
So, Deborah and I started this brand back in the early 2000s, and we rebranded about 2000, I'm going to guess 4, 5, something like that. And I designed this heart for her. Oh. I had been giving her glass hearts for Valentine's Day in our courting sequence, and everything about hearts became her life. Heart rocks, heart jewelry, heart everything. And so when I decided we needed to rebrand and have something more classic and iconic, I designed the heart. And if you look at it closely, it is made up of other hearts, grapevines, and grapes. That heart on the label is what has become our iconic brand. And you've seen it on Big Little Lies. You've seen it on Big Bang Theory. You've seen it on Grace and Frankie. It has had a lot of national attention. So it is an icon. And unfortunately, in 2016, she was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And during her time in treatment, I drug her with me to have her watch me get this tattoo, so she knew she would always be with me no matter what. And unfortunately, in February of 2019, she passed.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. So she's always going to be with me. She's always going to be the brand. She's always going to be the face of the winery. I'm always going to be the beast in the back banging the drum.
Beauty and the Beast. You know, and I love that strong never dies, Phil. It never dies. Yeah, I love it.
No, exactly. He's always going to be with us.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Yeah. Phil Long, vintner and romantic softy. That should be on your business card now.
Okay. Well,
thank you so much for sharing that story. And Phil, we really do appreciate the time, and we cannot wait to get our grubby little mitts on your wine, because it sounds delicious. I am dying to try the Pinot Grigio. That sounds delicious. Phil Long with Longevity Wines from Livermore Valley, California.
Phil, give us your website.
It is longevitywines.com.
Easy to remember.
Simple.
So we can all
straightforward.
Order. We can all order that pink Pinot Grigio on your website.
Yes, we can. All of our Black Label Reserve wines are available on our website, and we do ship to North Carolina. And then the White Label wines, which are distributed by R&DC and Bronco, let's just say coming to a store near you soon.
And we will grab them as soon as we see them. Thank you so much. We're going to get the Association of African American Vintners page up there so you guys can check that out up on our Wine and Dandy Facebook page. And again, Phil, thank you so much for the time today. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and you guys stay safe and cool.
Thank you.
The first part we'll try. The second part's impossible.
Yeah. Take care.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. You too. Thank you.
So what did you think about that, Jamie?
I thought he was amazing and so nice. I think it was a little mean that he talked about a wine we both want to try and we didn't have it in front of us. But yeah. Phil, it's cool. We're going to take care of getting that ourselves. We're going to taste it amongst ourselves. We're going to report back how much we like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to get it. You know, I love an orange wine. Orange slash pink. I get it.
Yeah, and you know, I love a Pinot Grigio, so this is like match made in heaven for us.
Well, he also taught me the fact that I always wondered why Pinot Grigio was so often made into orange wine slash pink wine.
Yeah.
And now I know. I didn't realize that the Pinot Grigio grape was a darker grape, so it lends itself to making an orange wine. So I'm tired of talking, Jamie. It's time to taste.
Let's drink, but that sounds bad, you guys. So I meant taste. It's still just barely noon.
Splitting hairs. Anyway, the only wines I could find from an African-American winemaker were from the Maison Noir Vineyards.
Which means? Black House.
Black House, yes. And it's made by a man named Andre Mack. And this is out of Oregon. And he was a sommelier. for New York restaurants, and he decided, I'm not going to sell wine. I'm not going to educate, which I'm sure he still does, but he's going to make wine.
Yeah.
He also, side note, makes some really cool t-shirts. It's not only a wine company, but it's a t-shirt company.
Oh, cool.
And what's their website? Is real cool. The website is MaisonNoirWines.com.
I'm loving these easy websites today. I'm going to check those t-shirts out.
You should. They're super cool. So we have two of their wines. Again, the only two wines I can find. And the first is a Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. And I've had this Pinot Noir before. It's called OPP. Yeah, you know me. That's a 90s hit for those people who are too young to know. I mean, maybe they're too young to drink wine, so it doesn't matter. This is also known as other people's Pinot.
Yes. And this is easy to find if you are looking. That label is very bold. It's just OPP in black lettering on a white label, so it's going to be super easy to find.
The bold graphic is also how his t-shirts look as well.
Oh, cool.
They're really,
that's
really cool.
That's his font.
Yes. It's his style, if you will. Okay. So let's pour. This is a 2018 Pinot, and it's from the Willamette Valley in Oregon.
Oh, it's beautiful. Ruby red. It's kind of purple.
It smells nice.
Man, does it smell nice.
It's floral. But it smells delicate in a way.
Yeah, it smells lighter, which I'm excited about because when I first saw the color, I was like, this might be a bit much for me.
Yeah, sometimes wines out of California in particular, Oregon, the Willamette Valley is known for some delicious Pinot Noirs.
Guys, this smells terrific.
Mm. Okay.
She taking this bottle home.
Yeah, that is delicious.
That is good.
Yeah, it's light. That's good. It's not too raisinated, which I was afraid of, because a lot of West Coast wines, in my opinion, tend to be raisinated, but this is delicious.
You know, it's almost, when you first sip it, to me, it's bold at first, then you get a much lighter finish, which is delightful.
It's light in body. It's got a little bit of grip, which is nice. It's not too grippy, though. It's got that, it's a beautiful expression of the Pinot Noir grape. I think it's wonderful.
Yummy.
I like it.
So this is OPP from Maison Noir Wines out of Oregon, and we're giving it 4 thumbs up because there's 2 of us. Get it? And you know we don't like math, but that's an easy one. I'm actually finishing off my tasting because that's how good it is. We don't pour giant tastings, just so you know.
Right.
But a lot of times we do pour back, but this is delicious.
This wine runs anywhere from $15 to $25, depending on where you buy it. I am very excited to take this home and share it with my husband. This is delicious. All right, well, let's move on to the second wine.
Okey-doke.
And I love the name of this
one. I do too.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's right. Was one of my father's favorite sayings.
Well, please go ahead and tell everyone the expression.
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's right.
Because he would say sort of, make a life, not excuses. Also a great saying. Everybody get that on a t-shirt. But then if you're saying, well, I tried, I did my best, I got close, he'd say close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
This is a blend of Oregon Syrah, and you know how I feel about Syrah. Love it.
Yes.
Cab Sav and Merlot.
It's cool. On the back it says, what is that, Garage Vin? Looks garage like it says Garage Vin. Wine.
Yeah, it does. It says the Garage Wines of Oregon in French.
Cool. And on the front, the label, again, very bold. It's a picture of a horseshoe and hand grenade.
We're going to have it up on the Facebook page so you can see it.
Right. So super easy to find in the store.
I'm excited, though. We've been delving more into the blends lately, so this is exciting for me.
Yeah, you know I love a blend.
Let's give it a little smelly smell.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what you think.
Ooh.
It's a little more earthy than the last one.
Yeah. It's a much bolder nose on this.
I would call this a big red without having tasted yet.
I'm trying to pick out I get violet.
Wow.
I'm trying to pick out, there's a certain smell in there that's going to drive me nuts.
I just keep thinking earthy, base, heavier.
It definitely has a darker smell.
I think I got some up my nose, so I've lost all ability to...
Fun, I'll tell you a story that reminds me. Okay. This is one of my most embarrassing moments in my life. I'm going to share it
now. Please
do. So when I lived in New York, I learned what a Perone was. This has nothing to do with any of these wines or black winemakers at all, but I'm going to tell the story anyway.
Right.
Perone is a vessel that you pour wine into. It's got a handle, a pointy, elongated base that has a really thin nozzle on it, and you tip it towards your face when you're trying to drink out of it, and you do it at an arm's length, and they do it, it's a Spanish thing, and they do it during harvest time.
I'm picturing Aladdin's lamp. Is it something like that?
Yes, very much like Aladdin's lamp, except it's got this long handle. So you kind of hold it in your hand, put the base of Aladdin's lamp on your forearm, and point the spout towards your mouth, and then you tip it, and it shoots a stream of wine.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Oh, well. So I have one. I've had one for a long time. And when I went out to have wine with my friends out in New York one day, they had one on the table. And so I was like, well, I know how to use this.
Watch me, everybody.
Watch me pour wine all over my face in the middle of a bar.
Hey,
New York. And it wasn't it was a fancy bar because I had a Perona on the table. Not just a little, all over my face. It was great.
Okay. Dinner and a show. Yeah, I did love it. Yeah, you're a good friend.
They laughed. It was fine. I survived. I think I had a white t-shirt on too. Everything about it was wrong.
The more I smell it, the more I'm getting, it's almost like a sharp scent, but a pleasant sharp scent. Almost like a lemon rind, but there's nothing lemony about this wine, but that's the kind of zing I get.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Let's give it a taste.
Okay. It tastes nothing like it smells. I really like this wine.
It definitely has that. Syrah is known for having like a bacon thing going on with it.
Yeah.
Oh, Syrah is definitely known for that. So I definitely get that that bacon residual, and which bacon and wine. Hello, I'll eat that all day long.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Pair it with a BLT. Yes, please.
Yeah.
I also am getting the structure from the Cabernet.
Okay.
And the Merlot, they both have a lot of structure. I don't get the green pepper. I think it's good. It's a little big for me. You know how I feel about big wines. I think this has seen some oak is my guess. Yeah.
I do. I do like it. And especially, you're right, once you said bacon, I was like, yeah, bacon.
Syrah's known for that.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. When they first told me that, I was like, that sounds disgusting. And then I tasted it. I was like, oh, no, I like it.
This would be so good with bacon-wrapped dates.
Oh, heck yeah.
I think I see something in my future later today. And it might be a bacon-wrapped date with a glass of this.
That sounds really good.
And my date.
But it's so funny. Both of these wines come from the same, you know, vineyard.
Yeah.
And one's for me, one's for you.
And that doesn't always happen.
No.
That's very pleasant. That means we don't fight over the bottle, guys. So, little side note thing you don't usually see as we're arm wrestling.
It also speaks to the dexterity of Andre Mack. Like, how good he is at making wine. If he can make a wine so vastly different. Mm-hmm. One is more feminine, a lot lighter in body. Mm-hmm. One is definitely more masculine, has the weight and the grip, and can stand up to heartier dishes and meats. So I'm impressed with these wines.
That's MaisonNoirWines.com for the t-shirts and to learn more about this wine.
Yeah, and I just looked. You can get it at Seaboard Wine, who
locally.
Provided the wine for this podcast. And honestly, I've seen OPP everywhere. I haven't seen Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. But I mean, if they're getting OPP, that means they can get the Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. So don't be afraid to ask them to order it for you. Yeah. And usually it doesn't take any longer than like a, you know, they just have to order it and it comes in the next delivery unless they have to order it. The distributor has to order it. Does that make sense?
What she's saying is you can order this wine from Seaboard and get it in and enjoy it.
Thanks, Jamie.
Pretty soon,
actually. You
and I do like a vintner with a sense of humor on their label.
Oh, me too.
There's always bonus points, I feel
like. Almost like you get to know them as a person.
Yeah. You're kind of hanging out and joking with them. They're like, I don't know those girls, but we feel like we know them. And that's really all that matters.
Spoken like a real stalker.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. And by all means, start asking for some black winemakers in your wine stores because they make delicious wine.
Yeah, let's be supportive. Up those numbers.
Yes, absolutely, because there's place in the marketplace for everyone.
Yep.
And the more diversity, not only in your wine markets and your wine shelves at your grocery store, the better. And the more diversity in life. No one likes just black and white. Colorful. The world is colorful. Let's enjoy it with all the colors out there.
Exactly. And finally, but foremost, let's carry love into the world. This is a great way to do it.
Heck yeah. I love wine, don't you?
Yes, you know I do.
So until next time, so glad you joined us. Please tell your friends about us. We'd love to share the love. You can find us on all the podcast platforms out there.
You can find us on social media at Wine and Dandy Podcast. That's Facebook, Instagram. Sarah's starting a TikTok. Just kidding. She's not.
No, I'm not. What are you kidding?
She got her 6-year-old neighbor and said, no, I'm kidding. Just
kidding. So thanks again. And until next time,
stay socially distanced, stay safe.
And let's keep the world colorful and full of love. Cheers!